Pastor Watt and I this summer are going to be doing a series of messages on Wednesday nights relative to personal evangelism. I came across this series, A Course in Evangelism, called Sowing and Reaping by David Cloud. And I looked at it online, and it had a tremendous study because his approach is very similar to ours in that we do not believe in buttonholing people and giving these little tidbit salvation messages with two or three verses and sign the card, pray this prayer after me. Our churches today have been filled up with individuals that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ because they filled out some card or somebody buttonholed them and they made this quick prayerism type thing and they think that they're saved. And that is not the approach of the Bible at all. Now, we do have instances in the Bible where, for instance, the Philippian jailer was ready to be saved. God had been working in his heart, and Paul and Silas had the opportunity of leading he and his family to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people say, well, he didn't preach any repentance to him. Well, I want to tell you something. That Philippian jailer was already repenting. He wanted to know, who should I call upon? What shall I do to be saved? He was looking for an eternal salvation. And so tonight we want to begin this series that will go through approximately mid-August. We're going to do this throughout the summer months. And I want to begin, first of all, with the privilege of serving as God's ambassador. Now, we're not doing all of the chapters in here. We're going to just touch on some of the themes that he has in this little book. Pastor Watt's going to deal with the doctrinal and the apologetic aspect of the gospel. I'm going to be dealing more with the authority and the practical aspects of soul winning. Or reaching out to the lost. I like that word better, as ambassadors for Christ. That's our role, and we're going to deal with that tonight, the privilege of serving as God's ambassador. I want you to listen as I read three passages. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, because that's going to be our theme verse, but I'm going to get there in just a moment. Let me read to you some verses from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. I want you to listen. After you get to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, because I'm going to read that last, that passage. But Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. How then shall they call on Him, that's capitalized, that's Jesus Christ, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now let's stop for just a moment. The Greek word for preacher there is kerusso. It's not the same as Robinson Crusoe, but the Greek word is Crusoe. And it simply means to herald. It's like the midnight caller who would come through and announce the time back in the early days of our country, or the person that would come, hear ye, hear ye. The English have attacked at Concord. They'd give the news. All right? That's a herald. Some people think when you see the word preacher there, that it says, well, this is just a message for preachers and pastors. Not at all. It is a message for everyone that is a God-called Christian. All right? We are to herald the message. Another word for this is to proclaim, to publish. This particular word is used with special reference to the proclamation of the gospel, not a preacher in the sense of a God-ordained pastor. So I want to get that understood. How shall they hear unless somebody tells them? That's what Caruso means. Somebody tells them, heralds it to them, makes it known to them. Let's go on. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Again, preach, Caruso, or tell forth the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. Listen carefully as I read that verse. He that heareth you, heareth me. Now this is the Lord Jesus talking to his disciples, and he tells them, he that heareth you, heareth me. When you go out to tell forth the gospel, you are speaking for me. So when you speak the gospel message, they are listening to me. Have you ever thought of it that way? That's what an ambassador does, right? The ambassador speaks forth the message of his president and of his government. That's all he says. That's all he has liberty to say. He repeats what his president or his prime minister or the king or the civil government tells him to say to this nation. And when that ambassador speaks, he's speaking for someone else. And that's what you and I do. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Do you see the connection there about delivering the gospel message, delivering the truth of God's word? If you are despised, they're not only despising you, but understand it's much deeper than that. They are despising the one who sent you, Jesus Christ, and those who despise Jesus Christ also despise the one who sent him. And that's the Father. So this goes all the way back to the throne of heaven. When we give forth the message of the gospel, and that means we give all the good news, not just pieces and parts. This is important. We're going to hit on this tonight. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, most of you have memorized this Bible verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless your word tonight. Lord, we seek to, over the next several weeks and months, share with our people the necessity of being an ambassador in this world. We're an ambassador of heaven, sent of the Father, sent by you to communicate the message of the gospel. What a privilege, what an opportunity to be an ambassador. And Lord, I pray we might understand our ministry, we might understand our message, and we pray, dear Father, that we might understand that we speak for Thee, but we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. What is an ambassador? I've jotted down some things here. I went online just to look and look at the role of an ambassador and their ministry, their opportunities, and I just put together some things here that I hope will help us to understand the privilege of the position that we are in as God's children, to be ambassadors for Christ. Now understand something, that verse, now then, we are ambassadors. This is not something that we strive to be. This is what we are as God's children. We are ambassadors. Now the question is, how good are you at being Christ's ambassador? Are you fulfilling that calling that God has given to you? Or are we not? Very important. It's not a question about, I've got to work really hard so I can become an ambassador. No, your thinking is skewed that way. The moment that you became God's child, you also became the Father's ambassador. All right? You're a representative, and it's a privilege to be in that particular role. First of all, an ambassador serves at the pleasure and discretion of the president, the king, or civil government. When ambassadors are appointed, they don't necessarily have to go to ambassador school. We have seen over the years that a number of people have been chosen for those positions. A couple of them have been recalled because they weren't suited for that position, by the way. We've had a number that's had to be sent back home because they were too busy partying. They were too busy spending money and having a blast, and they weren't representing our country. Some have been actors and actresses that were famous, and so they sent them back to their home country or whatever, and they represented our nation. Some have done a very good job, some haven't. Some of them may be cronies of whoever the president is, good friends, family members. But their role is all the same. They serve at the pleasure of the president, the king, the civil government, and they serve at his discretion. In other words, he can say, you come home today. It's not a voted on position. It's a selection by the president. It's approved by the Senate. And then they go take their position in that country. They get a stipend, a budget, and they're to operate their location, wherever they're sent, according to the parameters laid out by Congress. Number two, they are appointed to represent the nation to another nation. They are representatives of a nation. Now, you and I are part of God's nation. We're a peculiar people. and we represent Him. And that brings us to the next point that I want you to see here. An ambassador is appointed to announce the virtues of the home nation. Now, this is something that's in every ambassador's handbook. You are to go and to announce to the other nation the virtues of our nation. The property that our embassies are located on belong to the United States of America. We have immunity in those lands. And that property in that foreign land is the United States of America. I've had the opportunity to see a few of the United States embassies. I saw one in Mexico City. I've seen ours in India, in Bombay. I've seen the one that's in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince. We have these little Americas that are located there. When I went to Haiti back a couple of years ago, I called the U.S. Embassy and I went online, first of all, and put in my information. I'm going to be there in case something happened. I wanted them to know so my family could get information or whatever regarding me. And they gave me a tracking number so that I would know that, and a report number. When I got to Port-au-Prince, I could go into the U.S. Embassy there and meet with them if I wanted to, which I chose not to do, but I went by the embassy there. And it's a little United States of America. When I went by there, I saw the United States Marine Corps corporal standing out there. When we got up to Basin, I was shocked to see United States troops stationed there in the town. We walked over and spoke to a few of them. And boy, they were just as happy to see. One of them said to me, said, "It's so nice to see an American." Said, we're kind of in the minority here. And we had a good chance to talk with them while they were there. But we went by the United States, and there were the Marines standing at attention outside at the booth. I mean, that was a little America. And they're there to espouse the virtues of the United States of America. Now, as an ambassador, your responsibility is to announce the virtues of your home nation, and that's heaven. That's your role as an ambassador, to announce the virtues. How well are we doing so far? Think about that. Number four, an ambassador is appointed never to add to nor diminish from the statements of the nation's leadership. They don't have that opportunity. They cannot go beyond, nor can they diminish from what the home nation has indicated in all their conversations with the host nation. They cannot add to nor diminish from. Now, what has God told us concerning His Word? We're neither to add to nor diminish from. Why? Because we're ambassadors. All we do is proclaim what the home nation has told us. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has announced in His Word. I don't have liberty to go out and change it and make it less citizenship. Okay? Whenever God has announced your citizenship and how a person becomes a citizen of heaven, I don't have the leeway to go out and change the citizenship oath. I can't go out and say, well, you know, sin's not really as bad as what God says in the Bible. What am I doing? I'm diminishing from, or I'm adding to, the word of the King. Number five, an ambassador is appointed to keep and preserve the culture of their nation, not to adapt to the culture of the host nation. When you walk into an embassy, you're walking into the United States of America. And there are Americans that run that. And they eat American food. And they maintain the American culture in their embassy. Why? Because that's the United States of America. It's there. Now, what's happened today? What's happening today is that many people who are citizens of heaven are adapting to the culture. And we've stopped our responsibility as an ambassador to espouse the virtues and the culture of heaven, and we're espousing the values of the host. I see a problem with that. Do you realize that if an ambassador does that, they can be recalled by Congress or the president? If they espouse a culture different than the United States of America, if they adopt the laws or they adopt all of the customs of the land. Now, obviously, if you're in India, you're going to have curry chicken. All right? You're going to have curry chicken. But you better not spice it up like they do there, or you'll be crying. I was at South India. They had a big chicken dinner. I got up in the morning and I heard this. And I said, what is that noise? And Rick Hurd, who was with me, said, I don't know, but I hear clucking of chickens. And there was one of the students out there, and one by one, chop, throw, chop, throw. And they would throw the chicken up there, chop, throw. And they were getting ready for the big chicken dinner. And I got excited. I'd had coconut pancakes for almost 3 weeks. And I was about coconutted out. And every meal got served with coconut pancakes. I called them pancakes. They had an official name for it. It was coconut that was fried. And then on top of that, they had what was called bitterroot. And that was appropriately named because it was just as bitter. I'd put that in my mouth and my tonsils were sticking out and begging me, please, please stop. But I ate it because my host had provided that. And he said, we're going to have chicken dinner tonight. And I got excited. And I went over there and I filled my plate up with chicken. And I went and sat down. And I want to tell you, that chicken had curry from the bone all the way out. And I took one bite in it and I started to cry. It was so hot. I had tears streaming down my face. And Dr. Cherion looked at me and said, Pastor Brainerd, is that too hot for you? And I could hardly talk. My tongue was just burning. And I excused myself from the table, and I ran all the way back to the apartment, and I washed my mouth out with soap. They told me, don't drink water. You drink water, it'll go AWOL. And I said, it can't get any worse than this. So I went, and I literally washed my mouth out to get that stuff. It was in my skin. That stuff was so hot. And when I went back, I watched everybody else eat the curry chicken. And then one of the students came up, Pastor Brainerd, may we have your chicken? And I said, brother, help yourself. It was hot. Now, I adapted to eat the food of that land. But you know what? I still looked like the United States of America. Everywhere I went, I looked like the United States of America. It was written all over me. People would come up to me. They'd always come up and do their initial bow. You know, you from the United States? Yes. How could you tell? it's just all over us. And there are people. Mr. O'Pager was telling about, he went through the line at Home Depot, I guess it was. And there was a boy that was there, and he had his name Adam. And Mr. O'Pager said, are you the first or the second Adam? And the young person thought for just a moment, and he said, well, I'm a believer. He knew what he was talking about. All right, so you know it's written all over us that we're born again children. Now, if you look just like the world, they won't be able to tell. They won't be able to tell if you act like the world and you talk like the world and you dress like the world. You see, folks, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we want to dress up for our Lord. We want to look sharp. That doesn't mean that we don't have fun and that that we have to dress a certain way all the time. We enjoy ourselves and whatever, but there's a difference because we have a different nation that we represent. All right? Now, this is biblical. We have lost the concept of being ambassadors. I'm telling you this. In our churches today in America, we've lost the concept totally. It's all about us. It's all about how I want to do things and how I want to be in this world. God's called us to be ambassadors. That is a privilege. And it ought not to be lowered, that concept be lowered in the world in which we live. And so that brings us to my last point. An ambassadorship is a privilege and honor, not a drudgery or forced assignment. It's not a drudgery or a forced assignment to be an ambassador. All right, we should be thrilled to be able to share our nation, heaven, with as many people in this world as we can. There are three reasons to be an ambassador for Christ. I'm just going to quickly touch on them, and then we're going to start on the first. Lord willing, what we don't get through next time that I have the opportunity, I'll share this with you. Number one, because Christ says so. He says we are ambassadors. Number two, because men are sinners, and faith only comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And thirdly, because if men do not hear it from us, They won't hear it. If they don't hear it from us, they will not hear it. That's the role of the ambassador. We have a responsibility to tell folks about our country, about our nation. And I'm not talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about where our citizenship is, and that's in heaven. Now, the believer who preaches the gospel is God's ambassador and therefore has the authority that comes with that position. And the listeners will be judged as if Christ Himself spoke to them. Do you understand that? Whenever Luke chapter 10 and verse 16 was given to the disciples, what He was saying is, you have the authority to communicate My message, and you are speaking for Me, and I will hold them accountable for what they heard from you as far as the Word of God. That is an awesome responsibility, is it not? To communicate the Word clearly and plainly and without trimming corners and cutting out things that people don't like to hear. We have authority to go anywhere in this earth and preach the gospel to any person. Many people believe that religion is a private matter, and therefore strangers have no business meddling with other people. But Jesus has commanded us to preach the gospel to every person, so He has made this His business, and therefore it is our business. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment, what's happening in the United States of America that's pushing back against evangelism, personal evangelism? The Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as the Obamacare, has taken on church-run schools, colleges, hospitals, by requiring their insurance companies to pay for contraceptives, abortifacides, and day-after pills, all right, which goes contrary to our belief system. All right, that's wrong to kill a baby, no matter how you cut it. All right, it's wrong. What they have done by exempting churches, they said churches are exempt inside these four walls. But if you hire anybody outside the church and you have over 50 employees, then you must pay for these things. Now, what they have said is that the church is only good within the four walls. Once you reach out, if you operate a hospital, a Christian day school, a Christian college, you operate a soup kitchen, you operate something that hands out clothing to the needy, or you hand out food, or you do anything, operate a youth athletic club, right? Operate any kind of a ministry that involves using people outside of people inside the church, then you've gone outside the parameters, therefore you must supply this. Now, what are they saying? They are saying that you should not evangelize. That's what they're saying. You should not evangelize. So, well, you're taking it too far. No, I'm not. It's pushback against evangelism. It's pushback against personal witness. In other words, it's an egalitarian point of view. All religions are the same. All are equal. Therefore, why would you proselytize somebody outside of your church to make them come over to your faith because their religion is just as good as yours? Wait a minute, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. There's only one truth. There's only one truth in the world, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth. What's the article in front of truth? The truth. The only truth. That's what the article's for. It designates it specifically as truth abiding in a person, and this is Jesus Christ written. So there's only one truth. Anything that's not the truth is not the truth. Therefore, we have a responsibility as ambassadors to communicate. We're to call out to a lost and dying world and say, "Be ye reconciled unto God." That's what the next verse says in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21, "Be ye reconciled unto God." That's our message. Now the pushback is there. I don't know what's going to happen this month. I don't know how the Supreme Court's going to rule. Some people say that the individual mandate's going to be thrown out. I don't know if that's going to disable the whole thing. So I don't know if these other mandates are going to stay in place or if the whole thing is going to collapse and they have to start over again. But I do know this, that the pressure is now being put on Christians to keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear about the fact that abortion is murder. That's your personal belief system. Keep it to yourself. And by the way, make sure you make your payment to the insurance company so we can provide aborticides to your women. After all, we're concerned about their health care. That has nothing to do with health care. It has everything to do with the truth. That's what it has to do with. It has to do with the truth. And it has to do with messing with what belongs with God, too. And I've oftentimes proclaimed my understandings, what I believe, but this day after pill is nothing more than trying to destroy a choice. Okay? And what God has set up as how procreation is to take place, what we want to do in America is have our immorality and not have the consequence that goes with it. But you know, no matter how hard they try to erase the consequence, I remember a number of years ago hearing about a young couple that I knew that got pregnant. Immediately, mom and dad said, we've got to go pay for an abortion. And so that's exactly what they did. And they said, we cannot have this coming down on our family. We cannot have that happen to you. So we're going to have an abortion. And I heard just recently about the trauma that this young mother, years ago, when she had an abortion, the trauma she's been going through, the consequences are still there. She thinks every year the child would be six today if it had lived. You know how many women go through that? There are millions of them. It's chronicled. It's chronicled by the National Psychological Institute that has chronicled these things of women that have been suicidal because they couldn't live with themselves. Why did I kill my baby? Living with that. Let me tell you something. What it is, it's an effort to have our sin but not have our consequences. And so we use the Constitution to back up our sin. Now, this is what's happening today. If man's law forbids preaching the gospel, we should not obey, because man's law has just stepped outside of its realm, its authority. The Bible tells us that we are ambassadors. Don't ever be ashamed of being an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to say that again. Don't ever be ashamed of being an ambassador for Christ. Don't be ashamed with your family. You've got family members that don't know Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. Well, Pastor Brainerd, you don't understand. If I talk to them about the Lord Jesus, they won't invite me back next year for the family reunion. What's more important? The family reunion? Or giving them the gospel? So, well, they probably won't be saved. That's not your responsibility, is it? Your responsibility is to be the ambassador. If an ambassador delivers a message from the President of the United States and says, Iraq, if you don't clean up your act, the United States government's going to come in with its military and we're going to drive you out of power if you don't get your act together. Now, that ambassador is not responsible for a positive answer back to Washington. Is he or she? No. They delivered the message. But if the ambassador was given the message and the ambassador did not give the message, then he would be in hot water. You remember what Ezekiel said about the watchman? Ezekiel 3 and also in chapter 30, two passages in that book that warns about being a watchman. A watchman that doesn't declare a warning, the Bible says, the blood of all those with inside the city is on his head, because he didn't warn. He didn't sound off the alarm. I would much rather stand before my Lord and say, Lord, I spoke to my family members on a number of occasions about you. I shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They chose not to do that. And the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You fulfilled your role as an ambassador. You called them to be reconciled unto me, and they chose not to. But if you don't say anything, you choose to just continue on as if nothing's on. You never say anything to them. You skirt the issue with them, and you never communicate the truth of God's Word, then you're an unfaithful ambassador. You're an unfaithful watchman. And you're going to have the responsibility you were told. to carry forth the message of reconciliation, and you did not do it. This is serious business, folks. Personal evangelism is not something you strive to be. It's what you are naturally as a child of God. To want to communicate, don't you love your Savior? Don't you want others to come to know? Well, they might get mad at me. Well, they won't be mad for long. You know, Brother Curtis, and I'll close with this, and Sister Colleen Sluss told me before they left to head down to Tampa that they had spoken many, many times to Colleen's sister. She had told them to stop calling her. She didn't want to talk about the Lord Jesus. She didn't want to hear anything about it. And they thought, well, this is the reception. The sister had called Colleen and said, I'd like to see you one more time. I'm dying of cancer and I'd like to see you again. So they said, we'll go down there. We don't know what kind of response. And whenever they got there, they found out that she had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. All those years. Plant. Water. Reject. Plant. Water. Reject. And they just continued to pray and continued to pray. I would imagine if we were to go around the room tonight, you could all tell at least one, maybe two, accounts of people that you've had the opportunity to witness to, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ years after that. Wayne Turner tells of a man who was in his 80s that he knew, had known him since he was a young man. His name was Clarence. And he went to the hospital and he visited with Clarence, who was dying, and he had the opportunity to lead him to Christ. And what a change came over that man. He began to witness to his children. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. They got upset with Wayne for talking to him. He said, he's got religion here at the last minute. And he began to give stuff away. Wanted to give money to the church. That upset his children. They were really concerned about Dad. They you know, are really concerned about him, you know, but we can't wait for him to pass on so we can get the money, you know. But Clarence was wonderfully changed. A man that had been witnessed to over and over again, and he told Wayne, he said, you know, most of all the front that I put up over the years, I've been fighting against coming to faith in Christ. I'd just been putting it up because I knew it wouldn't be acceptable with my family and whatever, but he said, I know now I need to be saved. I'm a sinner, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. All those years, people praying for him, witnessing to him, and yet just that faithful witness, he was able to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's personal evangelism. We're gonna talk about this more because some people think evangelism is only a program. It's not. It's personal. It's personal. It's every day in the natural context that we have. It's not forcing something. And with this, I'll close. I was with a man one time who was, we went on visitation together. This was a number of years ago in the very beginning of my ministry. And we went out and there was a lady that we went to. I'd taken my Yak contacts and I'd called and I knew the lady and we went to visit with her. And this man began to buttonhole. We'd sure hate to leave tonight without you making a decision for Christ. We don't want to leave. We don't want to walk outside that door. Something might happen to you tonight. And kept beating. And this person had not paid attention the entire time we were there. And so she said, well, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so he said, you repeat this prayer after me. We repeated the prayer after that. And he started filling out the paperwork in the car, the card that we had, and said, this person trusted Christ. And I just point blank said, I don't know that she told you. Did you notice that she wasn't paying attention to you? Boy, he said, oh, most people are like that. And I said, I just don't think a person can make a conscious decision for Christ that wasn't paying attention, that was wanting us to leave. That was the impression that I got the whole time I was there, wanting us to go. And you kept pushing. We finally had to part company with this individual. But it was more important to write it down on the card to turn it in than it was to see this person truly come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's not a program, and we're not trying to get numbers. We want to see people truly transformed. Amen? Truly transformed. And sometimes it takes more and more and more, and it's somebody else that comes along and waters, and somebody else comes along and waters, And then finally, they come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the saving is God's work. The ambassadorship is our job. That's our job. All we do is speak for the King. All we do is deliver the message from the King. If they choose to reject that message, they don't receive it right away, that's their responsibility. I pray for them. I've delivered my message. I want to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. But it's not a program. It's personal. And it should be natural so that God can do the supernatural and do the saving. May the Lord help us. It's a privilege, folks, to be the ambassador for Christ. Are you exercising that privilege? When you have privileges, you ought to protect them. You ought to hold them in high regard. Amen? You ought to hold them in high regard. It's a privilege to represent the King. But I think sometimes we don't realize our exalted role. Can you imagine if you got a phone call from the president tonight, we need you to be the next ambassador to Kingdom Come? or what is that other place that everybody always says over in Africa? Timbuktu. You're going to be the new ambassador to Timbuktu. Some of us would be overqualified or underqualified, I don't know. But you can imagine the honor and the privilege. We have the same honor and privilege in Christ. It's high time we got back to ambassadorship, I think. And that's personal. We're going to deal with that throughout the summer. I hope that we can convey God's Word, not my opinion. God's Word, I've tried to deliver that tonight, about your role. We are ambassadors. May God help us to be faithful ones.